Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is your host, Greg Nielsen, President and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofit organizations all across the country to translate your vision into reality. I'm thrilled to be joined today for a conversation around a topic that you're not going to see featured on a whole lot of podcasts. You're not going to see it a whole lot in the nonprofit literature, but it's critical to nonprofit success. And the topic we're going to be talking about today is nonprofit self-esteem. What is it? What are the signs and symptoms? How does it manifest itself in organizational behavior and in leadership behavior? And to join us in the podcast today is Peter Heller. Peter is the founder of the Heller Fundraising Group. And Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be here with you. I have enough self-esteem to maintain a conversation with you, and we'll see how that goes.
I'm sure it's going to be fun, Peter. Peter, tell us a little bit about your background. I know just in preparing for the show today, you have a really interesting background where you've been at some really major, large institutions. Just maybe give us a quick overview of your background in the field.
Thanks, Greg. So I've been running the Heller Fundraising Group for 20 years now, and we work with nonprofits of all sizes, really around the country, on their fundraising challenges, particularly capital campaigns and the feasibility studies that lead up to them and building robust major gift programs. And I was able to really set the company up for success because I spent 15 years before that working at large universities where, honestly, when I started the company, I was surprised that my experience there translated so well to smaller sort of human scale nonprofits. But I most significantly spent 10 years at Columbia University in New York City on their fundraising staff and spent time as their director of development for their engineering school, which was a blast. And we are, our company is located in New York City. We have clients everywhere, and we have 25 people on our staff. Five of those are actual employees, and then we have 20 consulting partners who help to run our projects.
Now, Peter, when we first connected about this podcast episode, one of the things that drew me to the conversation was exactly where I started the episode, which was nonprofit self-esteem. I don't see a whole lot of consultants talking about that. I don't hear it a whole lot, but I see how it can be extremely vital to nonprofit success. When you use that phrase, nonprofit self-esteem, what does that mean to you?
Right. So let's get that defined to start with. Nonprofit self-esteem means that when a nonprofit leader, whether you're the executive director, CEO, board member, or senior staff member in fundraising or some other function, when you wake up in the morning and you put your nonprofit outfit on, you're going to work, whether it's like walking 10 feet to your computer or going to an office, you are convinced that what you're doing is good and important and not less than what other people are doing either in the world or at other nonprofits. Now, let me just say that that can be hard for us as individuals sometimes when we get into a negative mindset, you know, where I've read places that our brains are, you know, automatically like programmed to think more about negative things than positive things. So a lot of us, myself included, have to really work on feeling high self-esteem about our own personhood. And it's a whole nother level and really vital to take that positive self-esteem into the workplace.
Now, when you talk about nonprofit self-esteem, how does that manifest itself? So when you're thinking about a nonprofit and it, you know, perhaps it's showing signs or symptoms of low self-esteem, what does that look like for a nonprofit leader? How might they recognize that in their own organization or in others?
I'm going to use the unfortunate example of the pandemic and COVID as a good way to enter that, because I mean, it was a seminal thing in all of our lives, still going on, the repercussions of it, you know, not only people still getting sick, but you know, what it's meant for the entire world. And we learned as a company at the Heller Fundraising Group, we really learned a lot about ourselves and about our clients during that period. And what I mean by that is that starting in 2020 and then continuing for the next really 2 or 3 years, our clients reacted in a spectrum of ways to the pandemic. And some literally were like, we can't keep fundraising now. We're not doing it, where there's too many other things going on. And the world needs to focus on things other than our organization. And this was not like, you know, first responder organizations, right? It could be anything from a museum to a synagogue, to social service organizations, to all kinds of things. And others were like, hey, we're not first responders, but there's going to continue to be a world, whether it's, you know, there's still, for instance, domestic violence going on, and we're addressing that. Or, you know, we're a museum and people still, like, when they can come in, even if it's virtually or whatever, they need to relate to the higher aspects of human experience to really understand why it's important to go on. And so this is a long explanation, but in during the pandemic, it showed us that those who could really find the reason that their nonprofit is vital now and for the future of their community, those are the nonprofits that are going to both feel good about putting their nonprofit pants on in the morning and going to work, but also be able to be excited about their mission for, you know, now, next month, and for years to come.
Peter, one of the things I'd love to get your perspective on is, you know, when we talk about nonprofit self-esteem, I think sometimes the risk we run and the danger is that we think immediately only of smaller nonprofits or grassroots nonprofits. And we think, oh my gosh, they're the ones that are struggling the most with self-esteem. The bigger nonprofits, the universities, the hospitals, I'm sure they have it all figured out, right? I come from the small nonprofit background, and I think that's sometimes the perspective that we have, when in reality, I think nonprofits of all shapes and sizes tend to struggle with that, whether you call it imposter syndrome, whether you call it low self-esteem, that there's somebody else out there that is greater than, more than, doing better than we are. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to tell you a story about my time at Columbia, and then I want to make sure we both remember there's something I want to say in addition to what we were talking about before, because I think it's crucial. And I think you're absolutely right that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a big nonprofit or a small nonprofit. There are nonprofits of all sizes and in all sorts of different fields doing a variety of different work. And my 10 years at Columbia was really instructive. And on this topic in particular, and actually I wrote a blog post that's on our website called the Columbia Syndrome. And this is what I discovered. Columbia is a world-class educational institution and research institution. And, you know, I had a blast working there, really smart people, friendships that have gone on for decades, great alumni, great organization. And at the same time, their self-esteem issue was really clear. And you're going to laugh when you hear what this is. It's like, what was Columbia's self-esteem problem? It was like, we're not Harvard. Okay. Now that matters to them because they're playing in the same swimming pool, right? So Columbia has a $10 billion endowment. Now Harvard has maybe 40 billion or more. And they're, Harvard, all you have to do is say the word Harvard, whether you like them or not. And it has a certain cachet. And, you know, Columbia was struggling to be like, we want to be Harvard. And for me, it kind of doesn't matter. You're already, I mean, look at how amazing you are and all the amazing stuff. Do you really like, you know, do you have to move up that much in the US News and World Report rankings? Or do you have to, you know, you can still do a lot in the world that's good.
And I think that the important thing to realize is this is not a philosophical or esoteric conversation. There's real world implications. You know, an organization that is struggling with its self-esteem is also going to struggle to attract and retain talent, is also going to struggle to make the case publicly for why they need and deserve financial philanthropic support. So, you know, I think you're hitting on something that's real important, which is not just, you know, we need to be aware of this self-esteem issue, but it also has implications for the success or failure of our mission as well.
Absolutely. So I can refer to something that happened with a very organization, very different from Columbia, that we worked with a whole bunch of years ago, that was a New York City nonprofit that its mission was to support off-Broadway theater companies. Okay. So they weren't directly a producer of theater, and they weren't, you know, it's like, hey, we have a theater and we're putting on this great play and you know, you should come. But they were like, without them, so many theater companies wouldn't be able to exist. They did everything from managing their books to providing closet space to technical support, like all these different things that are part of the infrastructure of the New York City theater world. But I would sit in their board meetings during the time we were helping them with a big fundraising campaign, and they'd be like, we can't raise money because we're not a theater. We can't raise it because, and I literally was like, okay, first of all, you do raise money. Could you look at your finances? You see, you actually do get gifts. And could you stop the complaining and talk about what, and this went from the executive director all the way down to, like, you know, everybody had the same kind of negative message. And I came up with the concept, but I actually think this was quite brilliant. They didn't use it as a actual message, but it was, I was like, you folks are like the quote Intel inside. And I don't know, remember, some people in your audience may remember that advertising campaign where Intel, you know, they provide the stuff in the computer.
Yes.
But nobody, you know, nobody knows exactly what it is. It's in the computer, but your computer doesn't run without it.
Right.
Right. So they really needed to change their mindset, which is really what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Peter, as a consultant, as a facilitator, when I'm working with boards, whether we're doing, you know, whether we're working on governance issues or strategic planning, I subconsciously am always assessing, you know, even without thinking about it, what is the self-esteem of this organization? How do they see themselves? How does this board, you know, reflect on its own performance? How does the CEO assess the impact of the organization? I'm curious, as a consultant, and also if you were talking to a CEO or development professional in an organization, what do you look for when it comes to assessing the self-esteem of an organization or offering guidance to a CEO who says, how do I know what our self-esteem is as a culture? How might I go about identifying that?
Yeah. So I, you know, earlier in my career as a consultant, when my company was perhaps hungrier for clients, would be like, anybody. So, and, you know, we also, like myself and my staff, we really, you know, I mean, we're a business, so we want to make money, but we also, we're in this business because we want to be helpful to people. And we were kind of more open to working with a lot of different organizations. We're a little more discerning now, in that if the self-esteem vibe when we're having our first conversations is too, like, it's just vibrating too low. I don't know exactly. There's not really a specific, like, scientific metric for that, but it's, we've just worked with too many organizations that feel like they're stuck. And if, you know, if people come to us, say, like, oh my God, like, we're stuck, we really need help getting unstuck, and we know there's something better. But if they're convinced that their low self-esteem is the way to be, I don't know quite how to put my finger on it, but that it's just, it's really hard to work with that.
If you were, let's say you're not working with the organization, let's say you're advising a CEO who comes to you and says, I've picked up on this vibe in my own organization, on my board, on my staff. What do you think are some of the steps for organizations to begin to address that, to begin to unpack that and move to a healthier place?
Well, I think that's a really great question. And I do think ultimately you know, the way that people act starts with the leader at that organization, right? So the CEO needs to be both believing in and conveying a really strong message. And, you know, at this arts organization I mentioned, the executive director would literally like walk around the halls complaining about their own personal life and other things. And it just was not like, it wasn't a good vibe. So it starts with the CEO or ED, and, you know, you have to look at both the board and the staff levels of that. And in my experience, I would imagine you have the same experiences, like things change through practical steps that you take. Like, do you, every time there's a senior staff meeting, do you put 15 minutes in that meeting to discuss this specific issue and plans to address it? Are you bringing in an outside organizational consultant or something? Or are you having separate meetings specifically for this topic? Same thing with the board. I'm a big believer that most board members say, yeah, I want to be on this board. And then they're like, oh, crap, this is really boring and dull. And why did I sign up for this? So there's no reason that board engagement can't be exciting and fun. And yeah, you got to look at some spreadsheets and figure some hard things out. But why not like make it fun? And we feel the same way about like if a board member is going to learn fundraising and we're going to train them to solicit, we're going to make it like 90% fun, 10% work.
I think that you're hitting on so many of the important points of this. And the other thing I would add, and this is just sort of a, you know, sort of a lifeline to the nonprofit leaders that are listening, is that this is not easy, right? Because you, in some sense, you are swimming a little bit upstream. Part of the low self-esteem occasionally comes from nonprofit versus for-profit conversations, right? We are less than, lower than, not
That's
as
a really
profitable
good point.
As. So to an extent, as a nonprofit leader, you do have to push against existing currents, and that can be difficult. So I don't want anyone walking away from the podcast episode, and I know you and I aren't saying this, but with the impression that, boy, this is easy, you know, just let's not turn around our mindset, because it is going against some prevailing currents.
Yeah, and I'll just a couple more points. So one thing is that whole issue, I actually hadn't thought about it in that way, but the, you know, nonprofit versus for-profit, especially at the board level, when you have, you know, if you have a board that has successful corporate leaders from kind of any realm, you know, they're often giving crazy ideas for what should happen inside a nonprofit, and they don't quite understand. So you really need to bridge that gap and not feel any less than because you're a nonprofit. The other thing is like our, you know, self-esteem is, it's like a muscle that you have to build and you have to continue building it. Like my wife and I have this habit where she introduced, because she learned it somewhere, where, you know, we brag about things. Like, you know, to get the mindset like, hey,
right,
what worked well? And in my company, in our Monday morning meetings that we have as a team, we start the meeting off with everybody, and it's a requirement. Everybody has to share either a personal or a professional, it doesn't have to be personal or professional celebration from something that happened last week.
I love it. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time to join us for a conversation I really enjoyed. And I think that it's timely. I think that it's important for nonprofit leaders to have. For those who want to get more information about Heller Fundraising Group, about the work that you do, what is the best way for people to get more information and reach out to you directly?
Yeah, happy to communicate with anyone personally. My email is peter@hellerfundraisinggroup.com. And you can find us at hellerfundraisinggroup.com. We have a YouTube channel also that has one of the most viewed YouTubes on fundraising out there. We got 175,000 views. So if you go into YouTube and type fundraising, I guess nonprofit fundraising, you'll see me there up towards the top. And I'm on LinkedIn, as is my team.
Peter, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. It's one of the reasons I love doing the podcast is the ability to bring conversations like this to the nonprofit community. And for the nonprofit leaders who are listening to the podcast, if you're enjoying the podcast, highly encourage you to share it with your friends, your coworkers, your colleagues, as we continue to grow the Nonprofit Vision community. Peter, thank you for your time. And everyone out there, be safe, be well, and we'll be back soon with another episode.